now we're heading to Poonawai, a sheep and beef property in North Canterbury, where Chris Balderston is in the process of rewilding parts of his farm. Chris enlisted Jamie McFadden and the team from Hurunui Natives in Cheviot to do several native restoration plantings on steep hill country. A couple of the blocks have already gone into QE2 covenants, and it's the largest scale reintroduction of totara, matai and kahikatea Jamie's ever done. Chris and Jamie are with Cosmo Kentish Barnes in the farmyard at Poonawai.
We've got 540 odd hectares, and it's the first lump of land in my 53 years of farming on my own account that I now own outright. And I've never had so much fun with my pants on as I have since I've owned Poonawai in the last 4 years. And my base objective with Poonawai, because I'm in my eighth decade and I've got less days in front of me than I've had behind me, is for this to be one of the best farms in the district. So more sustainable, more profitable, more future-proof, and making it better for man and beast.
And Chris, Jamie and his planting team have been regular visitors here at Poonawai.
I think I'm probably Jamie's most favourite, most profitable, biggest turnover customer, and I'm super happy about that. And he's laughing away, so I don't think he's sad about it. But between poles and mostly natives, and now my objective to have a totara forest, similar to what you would see going over the Whitcomb, which I've done two or three times. The totara forests on the west coast are just astonishing, really. And the fact they're still there is because when they were logging it furiously to set up the rehab farms for fencing and battens and all the rest of it, the loggers couldn't get that far up. So they're a magnificent tree. Light, strong, durable, aromatic timber, not unlike Oregon's or Macrocarpa's, to be honest, but a true native.
How long have you been planting totaras here for?
Oh, I think probably going back two planting seasons, and we're still putting them in the ground.
That's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Long-term project.
Yeah, it's a true partnership in my opinion. Jamie's local, he's got an awesome team, and while I don't actually do the planting, I pay the bills and organise the fencing.
Yes, and so did you get any funding for this from Environment Canterbury?
Yep, I got some money out of ECAN for exclusion fencing.
Because fencing is expensive, isn't it?
Oh, eye-watering, yeah. So basically I've done a lot of preserving and protecting, and all of my native areas are named for people that are involved, and that helps with identification. Talking to Jamie about something that needs doing, I just say, oh, well, in Hannah's, because Hannah's got her own wee block just up the track here.
And Hannah works for Jamie.
Yep.
Quite a few of our crew. Well, we've got, seven or eight blocks named after members of our crew, and Linda and myself, yeah.
And Sophie and Tony and Chappie and
Andrea and Flora.
Wee Sophie down there, I've only ever, I think, seen her twice. Got a wee native area down here on a main access way for the farm. And oh, fair go, I thought she was going to give me a hug and a kiss when she saw that. Oh, it's got a wee creek running through it, and I'm a fisher person, and I live just over there, and this is just so wonderful. And one's named after Miles. He said, oh, we don't usually do that. And I said, well, you know, a bit of a contrarian, Miles, this is what we're going to do. But he loves the Canterbury grey scrublands and the rocky outcrops in the Lowry Hills range, which is range of hills that Poonawai is located on.
Mm. Quite nice to honour all those hard-working people.
Yeah, it's a team effort.
Yeah,
I mean, I've got blocks named after the guys that have done the exotic stuff as well. Stu and Lewis are due here next week, and Pedro is a wee expat Chilean.
And Jamie, has it been a challenge putting plants into the ground on this rugged hill country farm?
Yeah, when I say to the staff that we're going to Baldy's farm, the eyes roll, because it is steep, and I mean, some of the sites we do wear crampons. It is challenging country. When we've done a couple of days on this hill country here, we know we've had a workout. Some of the sites here are some of the more challenging just because of the steepness.
Mm. But it sounds like you've made some solid progress.
Yeah, we have spent a fair few weeks here, and we've probably up to several thousand native plants, and in terms of totara, I'm guessing we're somewhere around 600-700 now that we've put in. And we've also planted matai and kahikatea, you know, some of the other native podocarps that were local to this area.
So this is transforming the landscape on the farm.
Yeah, it absolutely is. My objective is, I think I said, make the place better for man and beast. But a subset of that is that I just want to retire the stuff that shouldn't ever have farm animals in it. And I think this last summer, survival rate with the natives and the poplars, I would say, is in the high 90% for this time last year's planting and the subsequent 2 or 3 years. So keeping the bloody things alive, keeping the animals away from them, keeping the weeds away from them, because they're just so slow to get going. But the survival in there is just phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah, well, in a drought year, to get the survival, I think the timing of our watering was bang on. We did 2 waterings through the summer, and it's a bit like the poplars and willows too. I mean, timing's critical. If you hit that timing right, it's well worthwhile. And we've seen that this year. I mean, sites that didn't get any watering through the district, there's been big losses, whereas, you know, 90% survival across a lot of the plantings here in a dry year.
Mm. Would we be able to go up and see the totara forest that you've planted?
Yeah.
Yeah, we get up to that one?
This is in Jamie's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon if we just go off where the heavy style is, where the dry corner there, we can see the kowai stand as well.
Yep. Righto. All aboard.
I'll jump in the back.
No, you won't.
We'll fit in.
Put the skinny one in the middle.
That must be me.
Now we are heading up the hill and Chris is side by side. And Chris, you've got quite a few poplar poles planted here.
Yeah, well, Jamie's the master of that, obviously. And I sort of wave a hand and say, well, what about this area?
Yeah.
And so Jamie goes around, marks out where they're going to go, and then the team comes in and drags them to the site, plants them, puts a sleeve around them, and then we have to do our bit by keeping cattle away from them for at least 3 years, because they rub on the bloody things and bust the roots off and then they die.
Some of them are at least 4 metres tall.
Yep, 4 or 5 metres, the tallest ones.
Growing well.
Yep. Actually a group up here. When I planted these 4 here, Baldy, I scratched my head and I thought, will these survive, these 4 here? Because it's probably one of the hardest sites, this little bit just here. But we've got 3 out of the 4 going. And that one may even still be alive. That one might be still alive.
Jeez, this is a steep gully here. It must have been a mission getting these poles in.
Well, all right, dragging them to the site, but trying to get them in the ground is a big challenge.
Yep.
But this is the sort of country we're working on, the crew are on in the Blythe Valley, which is straight over the hill there. This is the sort of country they're on today. Steep like this.
Hard yucca.
Yeah. Very hard work, especially if you have to carry everything uphill. You can't get uphill of the site and drag it down. If you have to carry it uphill, which they'll be doing today, it's a big job. Yep. And like these 3 here, particularly these 2, I sort of scratched my head if we get them going, but we have.
Have you got mainly poplar poles or are there willow poles as well here?
Mostly poplars to hold the land, because that's what the supply, the river protection nursery have available, is mostly poplars. They're a bit limited on the willows, but they're building up their willow stocks now.
So it doesn't matter too much which one you use?
It's more the species. I mean, there's probably 10 different poplar and willow species that are supplied for farmers for the erosion control, and it's critical to know which species are best suited where. So certain species do better in the dry and the wind than others.
Mm.
Yeah.
And we can see those poles dotted all the way up the erosion prone gully there.
Yep.
And further down towards the creek are clusters of beautiful native trees.
Yeah, across the other side. So this is 7 hectares in this block, which goes up right up the top there, above that rocky knob way at the top, and then comes back down here.
Yes.
And so what we're doing is we're not planting anything where the thick native bush is already. Like there's a lot of lancewoods and five finger in that gully, but we're planting all of the clear areas. So over there is a dry hillside, and there's
Hannah's
no point.
That's Hannah's favourite spot over there.
Yeah, and it's no point putting Tota over there or Kākatea or Matai high up over there because it's just too dry. So most of that's Kānuka forest. So when we do the plantings, we try and match it to as what would have naturally occurred there as close as possible as we can. So I think up through here there's now around 300 totara, some matai and some kahakatea. So in time, I mean it's going to look pretty cool in 10 years time, but in 300, 500 years time, this is going to be massive totara forest. Like has not been here for a long time. We're actually bringing Totara Forest back into this hill range.
What an amazing legacy you're leaving, Chris.
I think a couple of old adages are quite right, aren't they? That young men cut trees down, old men plant them. So I'm an old man now, and not claiming to be wise, but it's a wise man that plants a tree that he knows he'll never get to sit under. And as I've already said, been farming on my own account, mostly dairy, for 52 years and cut down my fair share of trees over the years. So now is my time to, leave this place better than we found it. That's the mission.
Well, you're not wasting any time. It's happening.
Yeah, well, I've never been known for my patience and got way less days in front of me than I've had. So, you know, I need to be cracking on with it and not having a year off planting until such time as I fall off my perch. So that's good. Jamie knows he's got certainty of work here. As I've talked to him, I said, God, you're bloody slow with your bloody accounts, Jamie. I said, have you actually thought about from when you go and gather the seed and get it to strike and then you plant it out and you put it in pots and then you wait for a bit more years, days, and then you sell it to me and then you put it in the ground?
It's a lot of work.
Your time lag is dreadful. You know, cop yourself on, man, and send your bloody accounts out sooner. So he didn't take any notice of me, but I understand the supply chain in doing that. And I know he gathers seed like tussock seeds from the top of Danzy's Pass, because I've got some of them in and around my house.
You must have a extensive seed collection at the nursery.
Well, I've got a lot of sites that I collect seed from the mountains to the sea. So we collect seed from Lake Station, which is way up Lake Sumner, and we collect seed along the coast and anywhere in between. But I guess we're lucky in that we've got access to so many different farms where we can collect seed, and farmers are more than happy for us to collect seed.
And also talking about seed source, Jamie does a species list, which is about 6 foolscap pages just for this gully, all big long words that I can't even pronounce, let alone remember or say. But with the stuff we're putting in the ground now, they're going to be a wonderful seed source for this whole gully and probably elsewhere as well.
This is certainly going to attract a lot of native bird species.
I reckon, and I'm not a birdie-wordy person, but I reckon the bird life has improved dramatically since I've been doing this sort of stuff around here.
Surprising the kingfishers up here.
Yeah.
They love these gullies up on Punawai. And we hear them when we're working up here, up in this native bush. I mean, they're usually a stream or river bird, but they love these gullies. There's bush, there's food, yeah.
A mate of mine who I ride push bikes with, Colin Crabb, and he says, oh, you hear that bell bird? And I said, there's no bell birds around here. And he says there is, so I don't know, but we've definitely got a lot of tui around the place.
Tui?
Yeah.
No, it'll be bell bird.
Bell bird, is it?
Yeah, he's right. The bellbirds are what's prolific around here.
Oh, are they? Yeah. Oh, wrong around.
There won't be many tui, but they may come back one day. They are out along the coast. But this is, I mean, you can see the Kānuka down there. It's surprising how quick time goes by and stuff starts to show up. Like the growth rate on these Kānuka and across there, and even the, like these shrubs here. I was just looking at these before. Man, they're growing.
Oh, unbelievable.
For a dry, hungry, sunny face, I mean, you look at the growth rate on the plants there.
What kind of shrubs are they?
They're a yellow shrub daisy, these ones here, they have yellow flowers in the spring, but they naturally grow on the steeper banks of the Hurunui River. So these are all plants that are natural. I mean, there's Kānuka, there's Caprosmus, prostrate kowhai, there's Karokia, there's all sorts of cabbage trees. Yeah. Mm.
And Chris, the 7-hectare Kiritu Covenant we're looking at is called Jamie's.
Yeah, he's famous.
Jamie's Covenant, and it has a new fence around it.
Yeah, this is what we call regen fencing here. It's all steel. Mm. No wood in it anywhere. Up there, around there, down through the gully. And Jamie and I refer to a couple of big old kowais in there as the grandfather and grandmother tree. The two that are really standing out there now. And I reckon they are looking amazingly different and better because the Melanbeckia, I think it is, vine that's smothering the damn things, Jamie and Grant, wasn't it?
Chappie and Tony.
Oh, yeah. Had a couple of days in there cutting that stuff off, and I reckon it's just gone. Oh, thank goodness.
Mm. It can breathe.
Yeah. And it's a dreadful climbing bloody nuisance of a thing that if we're not careful, we'll smother this whole bloody gully.
Which you don't want, as you've planted lots of totara.
Yeah, the totara are all up through there, and straight opposite us there's quite a few totara.
Is that where we can see the guards?
Yeah, those biodegradable guards are a great investment. They do cost a bit, but they protect the plant better from weeds, from wind. It makes it easier to find them, makes it a lot easier to spray around them. But in the wetter bits down the bottom, like right down in the corner there, there's a kākatea. So any of the wetter spots I've put in kākatea as well. But mostly totara up through there. A lot of those are totara.
We've had several iterations over the years about how to protect the native plants we're putting in. I think we've pretty well got it right now, is that we use a wool mat underneath and the biodegradable guards and then the two stakes in them. And they seem like they're going to be good for 3 or maybe even 4 years, in which case the natives will be fine by then.
And pest control. Mm. So there was lots of goats here, quite a few deer and a few pigs. But in our spare time, we've got rid of the goats for now.
Yeah,
and we've pretty well got the deer sorted. I mean, they could come into here 2 or 3 years' time, all the natives are up getting away, and they could just destroy these natives quite quickly.
After all that hard work.
Yeah, keeping on top of the deer's number one, goats be number two.
Oh, what's the plant? To deer, it's just like ice cream.
Broadleaf.
Yeah.
But even things like totara, the stags love to rake their antlers up and down the totara, young totara.
Which can kill a tree.
Oh, yeah, no, they can do a lot of damage.
Well, it's a huge project that you've undertaken here, and it looks like it's pretty much planted out now. Most of this gully.
I don't know what Jamie's plans are, but I don't think there's not much room for any infilling anywhere here.
Well, we've had such a good result. We've got good coverage here now, and there's a couple of other big blocks like this over the other side as well. 5 hectares, yeah. Tony's and Andrea's. There's quite a lot of totara over there that we've put in. Yeah.
Jamie McFadden from Hurunui Natives ending that story. Cosmo was also talking to Chris Balderston at Punawai, his 540-hectare hill country farm in North Canterbury's Hurunui district.